Welcome to The Bible Tells Me So, a program sponsored by Starting with Jesus. I'm Miss Katie, your host today. We have Micah to read our questions. Pastor Jonathan is with us to help us find the answer in our Bibles. And Aiden will read the Bible verse for us. Do you have your Bibles ready? If you don't, you might want to go and get them so that we can find and read the answers together. Let's go ahead and get started. Our question today is from Analeah. She has a question about God. So, Micah, what is Analeah's question?
Who created God? When did he start existing?
If you have your Bibles with you, let's turn to Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17.
All right, Colossians. It's in the New Testament. You have Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 1. That's the very first chapter in Colossians. And then look under that for the verses, the little numbers. Read verse 16 and 17. Aiden, what does that say?
For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist.
So for us, everything has a beginning. We were all born when our mothers gave birth to us. Our day begins when we wake up in the morning,
even if
we don't really want to wake up in the morning.
Exactly.
And for most students, the school year starts in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So many people have wondered if God is the same way. If we look at what Paul wrote about Jesus in Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17, it says that Jesus was before all things and that everything was created by Jesus. John chapter 1 adds that Jesus, called the Word, was in the beginning with God. So God was not created, and he didn't have a beginning. He existed before anything else existed.
That's pretty crazy, because we as humans, we are born, we live our life, we die. We see animals that are born, live their lives, they die. Like, we have this cycle and kind of what we're used to. And God doesn't fit into that cycle. He always was. And so it's hard for us to wrap our minds around that.
All right, there's something I want you to notice in verse 16. All things were created through him and for him. This means that you were created through Jesus and you were created for Jesus. In other words, Jesus made you for himself. So whenever you feel like you're not important or no one cares about you, remember that you are special to Jesus.
Yeah, that's so true. It doesn't matter how we're feeling. We are special to Jesus. He's the one who cares for us. He's the one who loves us. He's the one who created us. And he wasn't created, but he created us. And so that's pretty neat. That was a great question, Analeah. Thanks so much for it. We are so glad that you joined us today. If you want to find more programs like this, go to our website, startingwithjesus.com. And we want to remind you to start each and every day with Jesus. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Seed Pod for Kids. Thank you for joining me today as we spend time with our friend Jesus. Spending time with Jesus is the best way to start your day. Let's begin our time together praising him. Sometimes we forget that Jesus is about to come back. Sometimes we think that the battle we're fighting will last forever, but it won't. There will come an ending. The strife will not be long. We are going to have the victory, and we will overcome.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From faith and Christ and Lord indeed.
Hi, boys and girls. We're learning about Saul and how Jesus spoke to him. Now, last time, he was blinded from the light, and he was taken to a believer's house on Straight Street. And there he stayed, and he prayed, and he talked to God, and he didn't eat. He didn't drink for 3 days and three nights, waiting for God to tell him what to do next. So we're going to find out what happened next. But before we do, let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we want to ask that your Spirit will be with us, lead us, guide us, teach us your ways. Amen. For 3 days, Saul sat alone. He sat there blind. He sat there helpless. If you close your eyes and you sit really still all by yourself, you can get a little glimpse, or you can imagine just a little bit what he was going through. He was all alone. He felt so bad. He remembered so many things that he had done. He didn't want any food. He didn't want any water. All he could do was think about the terrible mistake that he had made. Now he understood that he had been completely wrong. Let's look at Acts chapter 9, verse 9. Acts chapter 9, and then verse 9. Acts is in the New Testament. It's right after John. It's right before Romans. Acts chapter 9. And then we're going to read verse 9. Acts chapter 9. Those are the big numbers. And then verse 9. Let's see what that says.
And he was 10 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink.
So he was 3 days without sight. He did not eat and he did not drink. He was alone. Now, there was somebody else in the house, but think about it. All the believers, what was he coming to do? He was coming to arrest them and throw them into prison, and I'm sure that they knew that he was coming because the word must have spread. And then he's there, so do you think the believers would want to get close to him? No, they'd be like, you're going to throw us in jail. There's no way we're coming around. And then the men that were with him, they took off. I don't know where they went. Maybe they went to the synagogue there in Damascus. Maybe they turned around and said, well, we don't know what to do and you don't really need us right now and we're going. And so they took off. So he's completely alone. There's no one he can go to, no one he can turn to except Jesus. Jesus had promised that Saul would be told what to do next. And Saul must have wondered how that would happen. Like, would he hear a voice? Would he be blinded again? Would someone come and talk to him? How was it going to happen? Jesus himself did not come to speak to him this time. No. This time he sent someone from the church in Damascus to help him. Look at verse 10, 11, and 12. So we're going to read Acts chapter 9, and then you're going to read verses 10, 11, and 12. And when we're done with this, don't close your Bible because we're going to keep reading in a little bit. So keep it open. Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 12.
And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias! And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight.
This man Ananias, he is not the same Ananias and Sapphira that we learned about who lied to God and then died. No, this is a different Ananias. Well, how many Ananiases are there in the Bible? Well, think about it. How many Johns are there in the Bible? Or Joseph? You have Joseph in the Old Testament in Egypt, and then you have Joseph, Jesus' father, and there's all kinds of people that have the same name, just like you might know somebody who has your name. So Ananias was told to go to Judas's house. Now, here we go again. This is not the same Judas that was a disciple. This was another man named Judas, Judas's house, and Saul of Tarsus would be there. So what was Saul doing while he was waiting for Jesus to tell him what to do next? He was praying. You're right. Ananias, as well as all the believers, knew about Saul. They had heard through the grapevine, or maybe they had experienced when they had been in Jerusalem and fled to Damascus, they had heard everything about Saul, and they're afraid of him. In fact, you can even see Ananias in verse 13. Let's read verse 13, 14, 15, and 16. Ananias is going to give an excuse. He's going to be like, whoa, wait a second. This isn't what I signed up for. So let's go ahead and let's read verses 13, 14, 15, and 16. This is what it says.
Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by men of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath abhorred from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.
Can you imagine how Ananias would have felt? He made an excuse. He's like, he is the enemy. Is this some big trick? But you know what? Jesus told Ananias to go to Saul anyway, because he would become a missionary for him. Ananias must have been shocked. But you know what? He trusted Jesus, and he went to the house where Saul was staying. When he spoke to Saul, he even called him something. He gave him a name or a title. He said, Brother. Who is your brother? Do you have a brother or a sister? It's someone in your family, right? So by this time, Ananias knew that Saul was his brother. It was a believer in Christ, a fellow believer. Look at verse 17. You'll see that that's what it says.
And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Sometimes people don't think the way that they should. Sometimes people do things that they shouldn't do. Does Jesus still help people when their thinking's wrong or when they're doing wrong things? Yes, he can. Do you know anyone like that? Do you know anyone that's suffering or having a hard time because they don't believe in Jesus? Well, Jesus still longs to have them in his family, as part of his family. He wants us to reach out to them and to help them, to encourage them. I want to be an encouragement to those around me, just like Ananias was to Saul, don't you? Let's pray that Jesus will give us his spirit to help those around us. Lord, we are so thankful for your love and your care. We ask that you will help us to hear your voice and to help those around us in need, that we will be able to share your love with others, especially people who are suffering and who are really struggling to know what you want them to do. Please help us to encourage them in the faith. In Jesus' name, amen. It's our memory verse, Acts chapter 9, verse 6. What does it say? Lord, what do you want me to do? Is that the question that we need to ask Jesus each and every day? It is, and he'll lead us and he'll guide us in the paths of righteousness.
Acts 9, verse 6.
Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do?
The Bible story material used in today's devotional podcast has been used with permission from My Bible First. If you would like your own copy, please visit My Bible First at www.mybiblefirst.org or call 877-242-5317. For more information about this program and others like it, check out the description below.